Today is the Feast of Pentecost, the last moment, the final moment of the Easter season, and also the crowning moment of the Easter season. All that Jesus did and said leads to this moment, the unleashing of the power of the Spirit by which the whole creation is renewed and brought into union with God. That's the thrust, that's the trajectory of the mission of Jesus. And that's what we celebrate today as we round out the Easter season. The Spirit of God is referred to in a variety of ways in the Scriptures. Descriptive ways. But probably no way is more often used than the image of wind or breath. In the first reading from the Scriptures, it's a violent wind that is associated with the coming of the Spirit. In the Gospel reading, it is the gentle breath of Jesus as he breathes upon his apostles, that is associated with the coming of the Spirit. In the third chapter of St. John's Gospel, as Jesus speaks with Nicodemus and says to him, "Unless you're born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom." And Nicodemus asks, "How is this possible?" And Jesus says, "The Spirit of God will come upon you." And then he says, the Spirit is like the wind. You feel it, but you don't know where it's been, and you don't know where it's going. The Spirit of God creeps into every single aspect of life. And the purpose of the Spirit of God is to enliven, to bring men and women and all of creation into the fullness of life. And we associate certain powers, certain gifts with the Spirit of God, that where the Spirit of God is present, the Spirit brings to human beings the gift of wisdom, the gift of understanding, the gift of courage, the gift of right judgment, the gift of knowledge, the gift of reverence before the face of God. And those gifts ennoble the human person. They ennoble the human spirit. They ennoble human life. And every single one of us, through the waters of baptism, has received that Spirit. And we know that that Spirit is operative in our lives. We know by the experience we've had. For every human being, there has been moments when they had to use the courage within them to stand against odds. And every human being has experienced that fear or anxiety. Am I able to do it? And yet somehow that courage wells up within. And it's possible to act. Every single human being has puzzled, worried, wrestled with the making of a decision. Not a decision between what is bad and what is good, but a decision between two goods that compete with each other. And I can't have it both ways. And I don't want to say no. I want it all, but I can't have it. And all of a sudden a light goes on. All of a sudden there is a clarity. All of a sudden there is some wisdom, which I didn't know was present, which I didn't know I had. And it's the gift of the Spirit. Every human being has been approached by someone seeking help, seeking advice, someone who brings you a dilemma and says, I don't know what to do. And in the recesses of your mind, you say, well, I don't either. I haven't the slightest idea. I don't want to say something that's going to further complicate this person's life. I don't want to give this person some counsel that's ultimately going to be harmful to them. I don't have the words. And then all of a sudden the words appear. All of a sudden the words arise. All of a sudden the words are there. Words I didn't know that I had. And it's the work of the Spirit of God. A spirit of wisdom and right judgment, a spirit of courage and understanding, a spirit of knowledge, a spirit of awe before the face of God. And that Spirit is poured out upon us, first in baptism, then confirmed in the sacrament of confirmation, and nurtured in the gift of the Eucharist. No one sees the Holy Spirit. No one in the Old or New Testament saw the Holy Spirit. What one saw were signs of the Spirit's presence. What one saw were expressions of the Spirit's awareness. But the Spirit is not seen. Robert Louis Stevenson writes children's verse, and in A Child's Garden of Verse there is one particular poem in which a child is talking to the wind. And the child says, I have seen the different things you did, but always you yourself you hid. I felt your push, I heard your call, yet I couldn't see yourself at all. I would suggest to you that that simple five-line poem could well be a testimony of the believer's experience of the Spirit of God. We have seen the work of the Spirit. We do not see the face of the Spirit. We've heard the call of the Spirit. We've experienced the push of the Spirit. But we have never seen the Spirit. My favorite image of the breath of the Spirit, the coming of the Spirit, is drawn from the image that is found at the end of the story of the passion and death of Jesus in the Gospels. The Gospel writers tell us Jesus hung upon that cross for 3 hours and suffered in agony. And at the end, as he dies, the authors say he breathed forth his Spirit. In his dying breath, his Spirit moves out and covers the face of the earth. That dying breath is the breath of God, the breath of God's love. The breath of God's love that surrounds and embraces and envelops all of creation. It's that Spirit that you and I have received. Now, the great tragedy of Christian living is that so often we don't take advantage of the gifts we have received. The tragedy is not that we haven't been gifted, but that we often take those gifts for granted. Powerful gifts that are meant for ourselves and for the communities in which we live. Powerful gifts that are able to renew the face of the earth. Powerful gifts that are present and are active and can and must be manifest. The gift of a true wisdom and a clear understanding and a right judgment. And courage and fortitude. A gift of knowledge. Reverence before God and the hand and works of God. All that is necessary that the earth may be renewed and that men and women might live in the peace of Christ. Nothing is lacking. All is given. All is poured out. All is the gift of the Spirit. The challenge is for you and for me to accept those gifts and to act on them. Well, this morning we have the opportunity to welcome a young lady into the household of the faith through the sacrament of baptism and through the gift of the Eucharist. And in the sacrament of baptism, that Spirit of God, that powerful Spirit of God, comes upon you and fills you. Pretty cool, isn't it? You bet it is. And our job, not alone, you don't have to do this alone. You do this with your family. You do this with all these people here. We use the gifts that the Spirit gives us to be good disciples of Jesus, to be good followers of Jesus, and to do what it is that Jesus wants us to do. Okay? All right. I'm going to bless the water for baptism, and then I'm going to ask you to join with us as we make our profession of faith. And then I'm going to ask you if you really want to be baptized. And then we'll do it. If you want to. Okay? All right. I want you to just step up here and put your head over the water and turn a little bit toward me. There we go. Zoila, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We turn now to the Lord God, and we make our prayer.
Father, send your Spirit upon the Church and endow her with a variety of gifts, challenging us to fidelity to its old truths and creativity in new ministries. We pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Father, send your Spirit upon all who are imprisoned by doubt, fear, depression, or habits of sin, that they may experience the joy and the freedom promised through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Father, send your Spirit upon all who live and work around the world, so that through them more people may come to know you and Jesus, your Son, whom you have sent. We pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Father, send your Spirit into our hearts so that we can be empowered to call you Abba, Father, and live as your worthy sons and daughters. We pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Father, send your healing Spirit to all who are sick and suffer, especially Diane Volenkant, Claire Francis Cullen, Dick Litvin, and Tony Palmer. We pray.
Lord, hear our
prayer.
Hail Mary.
Lord is with thee. Fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.